Yep, we're back on. We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:45 a.m. on 8:46 a.m. on the clock for July 19th, 2017, and we'll start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Thiemann. Consent agenda. One is the general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held July 5th, 2017. Three, approve all claims through July 19th, 2017 in the amount of $478,907.84. Step claim number 17070112 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $1,181.75 and claim number 17070159 to R.L. Thiemann Construction in the amount of $2,314.47 to be voted on separately below.
Would you just mention that that's just a little slightly different?
That, okay, that, yeah, Don had to change that number up there, that 478,000. She adjusted that by a little bit different than what?
A couple hundred dollars from what I initially emailed out.
So. What we initially had sent to us or whatever, so that has changed just a little bit. Approve, number four, approve and place on file correspondence received. Number five, approve summary fee report for the district court and register of deeds fee report for the month of June 2017. Approve utility permit number 1070 to Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. will be boring 130 feet by 5 foot deep under South 32nd Road and Hickory Road and trenching in 2,662 feet in the north ditch 5 foot deep to replace temporary cable located in the northwest 4th, section 16, southeast, southwest 4th, section 8, township 4 north, range 6 east, Midland Township, and will be boring 160 feet, 5 foot deep, under Hickory Road and Southwest 61st Road. Approve specs and call for bids on project referred to as STWD-CBMP1, C-34-1092 Gage County, triple 12 foot by 9 foot by 50 foot box culvert, C-49-220 Johnson County, a triple 12 foot by 12 foot by 57 foot box culvert, and a C-6494 Nemaha County, triple 14 by 14 by 41 box culvert. Bids to be opened on August 30th, 2017 at 9:30 a.m. Approved specification call for bids on fall rock and gravel. Bids to be opened on August 16, 2017 at 9:45 a.m. And number nine, approve reappointing Dennis Rosine to the Planning and Zoning Commission for another term effective July 1st, 2017.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill and second by Bauman. Any other discussion on that? The bids on that project bid, that's the three, that's the culverts with the bridge match funding from the state that we are the, I call it the lead county or whatever, so that will all go through all of us to put out on bids, and that's those three box culverts, one for each county.
And Roseanne's all okay to be reappointed?
Yep, he sent text, and I forwarded the text to Don so that we could get a copy of that and stuff.
Okay.
And then he called too and stuff. Yes, he wanted to be reappointed for another term. And then the other one is, I'll talk a little bit about the fall rock and gravel bids. We're in a situation where we haven't been in quite a while. Here as of about a week ago or whatever, they had six townships left to haul. And there's a good possibility that they will be done before the 1st of September or the 13th of September, which when we bid this spring, that was how long they had to haul that amount till the 13th of September, I think, in the bidding. And the bidding, the way we put it out, is that it lists the amount they get for the year, and then they haul half of that. And that's all they can haul. Otherwise, according to the bid sheets, once they got done hauling the spring allotment, they couldn't start on the fall allotment until we basically get new bids out there. At our road and bridge committee meeting, Terry brought up, and I think this is a good idea, and we'll probably try to do this next year, bid the whole year one time instead of bidding a spring and a fall or whatever. So we will definitely look at that next spring, that possibility of bidding spring and the fall allotment all at one time. But we did pull our bid sheets out and we looked at it, and no, it was it listed in there that it was just half of that allotment, and they had until September 13th to haul it. If we didn't move up this bid date, normally we bid a little bit later and we get them in about the middle of September, the bids. Between sometime here in August and September, the middle of September, they basically couldn't haul any product, which we'd rather have them haul product during that time period as December 1st, trying for these townships, because then you run the risk of putting snow out there right away and grading the product off in the greater ditch or whatever. So that's why we're putting that out for bids now or whatever and stuff. So we had some townships bring that forward, and I think Rock On called too and everything and stuff. And we did, Monday, we did pull the bid specifications and look through that. And no, the way we read the bid specifications, they once they got the spring allotment done, they couldn't just go and start in the fall, so that we're speeding this process up a little bit. Anything else, Terry?
Well, you covered most of it. It makes common sense to me. I mean, those rock and gravel prices rarely change during the middle of the year.
Yeah.
You're going to bid it for the whole year. We've had a good company that's been supplying townships with gravel. It's kind of got started with. We're caught up finally.
We're caught up.
I think in the last 7 years is the first time I can remember, or will be.
Yes.
I can remember we've been this far along.
Yeah.
And normally, you know, the spring is bid March 15th. Okay, they can start hauling, so that'll give for the spring delivery basically 4 months, April, May, June, and July to get that done, and August,
you know, too.
If needs to be, and then we don't rebid the way it's set up now till September 15th again. Well, by the time thing gets rolling, you're going to be in October and November, so we're allowing 5 months for the spring delivery and basically 2 months for the fall. Unless the weather,
yep,
you know, works the other way. Very rarely do you want to haul, I don't believe, much material, gravel material, in November. You know, it just doesn't work. So you're only allowing 2 months to get that done. I think this would speed the process up. It would also eliminate a lot of extra paperwork that we don't need to do, bid at one time for the whole year. The supplier and the hauler can get together and get it done on their terms then. So
we do have that item on the agenda to discuss and approve or disapprove later in the agenda. So we're discussing early.
Early. Good deal. Okay. Yeah, and here's the copy of the letter from Dennis Rosine requesting to be back on there. Anything else for consent agenda?
Move to approve consent agenda as presented.
Wait,
we have a motion and second already.
Thanks, Supervisor.
Take the donuts away from him. Take the donuts away
from him. Yeah, he's had too many.
He's had too much.
You and Terry
might need some extra cheese.
Yeah, let me mark that down. That'll come up later.
Now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Vote.
Flags up.
Gary, yours is. We switched yours there. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 17070110 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $1,181.75 and claim number 17070110 to RL Teeman Construction in the amount of $2,314.47. Total amount of claims approved then would be $482,404.06.
I would move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Byers, second by Bauman. Vote. 6 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, I think we'll go on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights, and we have Dave.
Call on Mr. Jones.
Thank you for the nice compliment, but I swear the older I get, the less I know anymore.
You're still Mr. Jones.
Here's some projects that I'd like to move forward with. I did get a bid from Teeman Construction to work on replacing 45 feet of sidewalk that is in bad shape. It is by the Veterans Office. That has gotten really bad the past couple of years, and that came in at $1,080. During the storm damage that occurred June 16th, it took out the fence by the parking lot. That's 128 feet of dog-eared fence. I asked for three bids. I got two back, and one declined. And the lowest was Wallenberg Construction for $2,885. And Don did turn this over to NIRMA, so we'll hear back from them. During our safety committee's reports, we've always talked about having a wall in the county attorney's office so when people walk into that little lobby area, they can't just walk right into it. This would be building a wall, installing a door, and putting glass partitions around the top of the counter and refacing the counter and putting on new countertop while we're doing that. And that came in with Wallenberg Construction at $2,875. And
does that come out of a county attorney's budget?
I would think so.
I'm taking out of some of the inherited tax funds as I write the, you know, review that.
Ask the judges to throw that in as a fine, why don't you?
Dave suggests we call it the Trump wall.
Oh, okay. All right.
And we will discuss cameras later. That's on the agenda.
But you're going to go ahead and then, I mean, unless somebody has objections, you're going to go ahead and do those three projects or start working on those three projects.
Yes, I would like to, yes.
Because they're all under our amount or whatever.
Yes, yes.
And everything, so.
They're all okay. And hopefully we'll get NIRMA to pay for that fence. So.
They indicated that it should be covered. We'll have our deductible, but.
Okay.
That last fence, it did last 16 years or so it's good to get it replaced.
I want to just take a minute, too, to compliment Dave and his staff. Those girls who work with him are absolutely fantastic. And if you come around here day or night, they're working, weekends working. And we should be very proud of the fact that we have a wonderful, wonderful custodial staff in this building. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. We do have a timed event on the agenda here, 9 o'clock, a Veterans Honor with Leonard Fritzen, and he's not able to be here today. So we will delay that honor for a later date. Equalization. Nothing other than we have a meeting this afternoon.
Nothing more than what we have this afternoon, which is a lot.
Finance, insurance.
Terry likes to go over all the money he spends in Road and Bridge. We do have the budget coming up. We'll get final numbers from the assessor's office and then probably start to show up on every. We could talk about it in committee, but it'd be nice if it was just a separate line item, just a discussion on the budget, give people plenty of time if they want to come and talk or the public wants to give us their input on the budget. That'll give them plenty of notification on the budget. So just every agenda. We have to approve that by September 20th. So our last meeting will be September 13th, where we need to approve the budget. So hopefully we've got it pretty well tightened up by then. Don, Essman, when about that wage study?
As far as I know, he is still working on that. I haven't heard anything. I've asked a few questions, but I know stuff has went out to the counties. I've sent letters ahead of time letting counties know that it's going to be coming. So, and some of the surveys I know he'd already done for a couple of counties, so he would have that information already. So we kind of got started a little bit later. So.
Well, yeah, I just concerned, like, on my budget, I didn't sign it because it's not my budget. I may have to adjust other factors as I look at the wages.
Right. No one has wages in right now. We're just getting the, and that's just preliminary. We'll get, we'll have an opportunity to, once we find that out, to adjust.
We also did talk about agencies that file late claims based on the dollars that we've budgeted. This is the last year. If their claims aren't in by the ability to get those in by the end of the fiscal year, they're out. So we've seen that multiple years. We've given people opportunities. This will be the last year. If it's not in by the ability for us to get that into the appropriate fiscal year, they're out.
Are they going to get a letter, or is that going to go out with their claim sheets that are already printed out?
We already spoon feed these folks, and so this will be the last year. We'll draft a little letter, and if they're not in, then they're out. And It's just they're done. Because we had that last year several times, and we already had that again this year. But the one agency had some circumstances that I think, you know, this is kind of last call. So.
Terry?
You done that?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay, the high ticket items. The sheriff's been a good boy this last 2 weeks, so nothing there. Beatrice Concrete, sand and gravel, rock, township, and county gravel, $38,676. Rock on Incorporated, township hauling,
$13,792.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it. Okay. I mean, that's not it.
No, but that's
those are the large
the
ticket items.
Sorry, I worded that wrong. Yeah. Don did mention too that trying to set up a meeting sometime here with Amber for insurance and have a discussion on that renewal and stuff. So I don't know. Her and I talked a lot, so I don't know if we got something lined up or not. But we'll be here in the next couple of weeks. We'll be meeting with them and seeing what. How our rates will be affected next fiscal year. So, human resources employee relationship.
Nothing for committee.
Nothing for committee. We do have a closed session later today that we are meeting with some of the extension people in that for some of that personnel. So, law enforcement emergency management.
Not a whole lot. We are seeing some applications come in for emergency manager. Appears as though Gus has something he wants to say. Get off his chest.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Gus.
I don't have that much time to get off my chest, what I got. But just briefly for the ones that weren't here, Monday we had a couple expenditures come up that I'm debating on when I'm going to do this. We had on the screening station in the courthouse, one of the devices, walk-through detectors no longer work. Can't get parts. Company is no longer in business because it's probably 15 years old. And that's about $3,500. And then I've been putting off our handguns for about 3 years. We're supposed to, manufacturer this year said that we got to get something done. Refurbish or trade them in, and it's about $200 a pistol. So it's about the same price either way you go.
And how many of those are there?
Well, we probably have about 15 or 16 in that area. They're not large dollar amounts, but when you put that together, just between that and the scanner, just about half of what I budgeted for law enforcement supplies for the new budget year. So I just wanted the board to know that. I'll try to hold off as long as I can on it, but I'll probably have to do something or get a loan from Juergens at some point in time. So, but anyway, just you're all aware of that. So outside of that, that's it.
Anything else?
No, I didn't.
Road and Bridge.
Myron, a large number of these items that we discussed during Road and Bridge are coming up on the agenda, so I'll go through the ones that aren't. Approve call for bids on 3 box culverts for 3 bridges on the Bridge Match program with Nemaw and Johnson County. Galen has stated that of the 5 culverts that we had out for bid, so 2-3 months ago, 2 have been delivered, and they're working on installing those right now. And the 3 have not showed up yet, but they will be coming, you know, in a fairly timely manner, I'm assuming. 712, the backhoe broke a track pin. Discussion on why a 1,400-hour machine has had several pins break. May be covered under warranty. I'm going to restate that, Myron, will be covered under warranty. I hope.
Better be.
Better be, yes. later on that part, Highland Township has asked Galen about changes to come roads with the county. Galen's recommendation is not to change. Ellis Box Culvert has been poured and stripping from the frame last Friday, so they're getting ready to backfill around that project. So it's moving along, I'd say, fairly good. Galen had discussion about a call on Bunsargent Road and 13th Street, also discussion on tree damage in Pleasant Hill Cemetery. And there's five more items on there we discussed, but it's coming up, as Mr. Byers said.
The next item on the agenda is a timed event at 9:30, and I think that's why you guys are here, so that we have to wait a little bit yet. We have a timed event, a public hearing at 9:30. We're skipping down to... Lennart, I did mention that already.
Oh, you did.
Lennart Fritzen, yeah. We mentioned that Lennart wasn't going to be able to be here today and that he will be at a later date, yes. I think we'll move way down to, on the next page there, it says approve or disapprove setting August 16, 2017 at 9:30 a.m. is the date and time for public hearing on special use permit 2017-4, expansion of a livestock facility located in northwest 4th of Section 16, Haverhill Township.
Make a motion to approve the time and date.
Second.
Motion by Durgan, seconded by Thiemann. And this is one that the Zoning Board approved at their last meeting, so that's forwarded.
And I brought their findings of fact and stuff, because initially the agenda said that we were going to do that. I assume you want me to just put those in this, or give them to Don to put in the supervisor slots for the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we will have, on the 16th, then, vote 7-0 in favor. Next, approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Department of Road for the 2017 fracture critical bridge inspection. And Galen, would you like to explain this a little bit?
Yes, this is done every 2 years on our fracture critical bridges. Years ago, the county used to do the fracture critical bridges also. But the last few years, the state has taken them over and gives them out to the different consultants. Out of this, there will be 48 bridges to inspect on this go-around. Total cost was $85,480.43. The feds will pay 80% of that. And the county has 20% of the payment, which is $17,096.09. And we will use our soft match funds for that payment.
And the soft match funds, I think a year or two years ago, we had a little over $300,000 or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what. So, I mean, we have funds basically sitting up there that will be used for here, so it won't be a direct expense.
Yes, correct.
Entertain a motion to approve that agreement between Gage County and
DOR. Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jurgens, seconded by Thiemann. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 in favor. And next up, approve or disapprove resolution signing of the project program agreement 2017 fracture critical bridge inspection.
And that resolution is 17-21.
Resolution 17-21.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jurgens, seconded by Byers. And this is just basically the agreement that we talked about in the paragraph before or whatever.
It's a signing resolution.
Signing resolution.
Something different. They just have both parts there.
Okay. Vote 7-0 in favor. Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove resolution that the county of Gage will be responsible for the 1.5 mile running east-west from the point starting at the northwest corner of Section 15, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside, running 1.5 mile east to the point ending at that portion of the road running north within Section 10, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jurgens, seconded by Thiemann. And Galen, you want to talk about this one too a little bit, explain this one?
And that's Resolution 17-22.
Resolution 17-22.
That's what?
17-22.
22.
Those are, everybody's got to sign this one.
On this resolution, last fall, Riverside Township approached me about the increasing traffic on the half-mile stretch north of 15 Riverside, which was maintained by the township. The county road maintains from the half-mile line going on east. Is a county road, and it also turns county road turn and goes in by the golf course. which is South 13th Street, or in 10 Riverside is the road. So we put out traffic counters on both segments, the county stretch and the township stretch. And the counts, there was almost double traffic coming straight through to Highway 77 on that half mile, more than the county road that went into by the golf course. So with that, we made up this resolution that the county would trade this North 15 Riverside. The county section, Riverside Township would take over the county portion of road in Section 10, Riverside, approximately 2,320 feet. The township will maintain that, and the county will take over the half mile north of 15 Riverside for maintenance and new construction.
Galen, yes. At the time when we discussed this earlier, there's going to have to be some improvements done to that stretch.
Yes.
To bring it to county standards. And I forget what the cost at the time. Do you remember what you estimated that at?
I was thinking around $5,000. It wasn't very much. We got some ditch cleaning to do and a couple culverts to put in.
And at that time, Eric Thiemann said he was going to pay half of it, right?
I thought he was going to pay 80%.
Soft match, whatever you want to
say. I was going to say, did you tell Supervisor Thiemann when you put that counter out? Because I saw him driving back.
You know, Myron has those figures down on those roads, and I'll give them to you if I can find them here. Yeah. On the township road, there were 196 cars and 23 trucks on the township part of it. On the county road, there were 79 cars and 4 trucks. So there's quite a discrepancy in the traffic counts, and this is the reason why this is being done. So.
Yeah, and that's why we're trading or whatever that was brought forward by Riverside Township.
Yes.
And the numbers definitely support the fact that the county really should have the more heavily traveled road, and that's what this resolution is doing, is we're basically trading those two stretches of road.
But the townships have a lot more money than we do.
This is probably good for safety.
Good for safety.
But John Hill wants to put a roundabout there, so maybe we'll do
that. You need to take care of that, Terry.
We'll look at it.
All right.
No, thank you. And that, we've talked about this probably for a year, year and a half now and stuff. That
as long as Thiemann's been on the board, we've talked about it.
As long as Thiemann's been on the board. Okay, any more discussion? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor.
In case people in the audience didn't notice, we try to have a little fun with this board as well as being serious. Notice that, Counselor?
Next on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove changing process used for gravel bids.
Move to approve. Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. Terry, go ahead here.
Well, you know, I've covered most of it. I mean, the process we're changing now is changing, bringing up the bid date, you know, approximately a month to give the hauler for the fall allocation more time to get the product on before winter sets in or bad weather. So that's all we're doing right now. We're just moving the specs up on that. But down the road, Galen and I have talked about it, you know, we'd like to see next year at that March 15th process. We'll do it for the whole year. And the hauler can, you know, if he has everything go smooth, get the product out there in the fall sooner, this will allow him to do that.
Gary?
Myron, this makes total sense to me. I mean, I don't know why we weren't doing it. So that brings the question to my mind, what am I missing here? Why does this seem like a really good idea? Why haven't we done it in the past?
And Galen and I talked about this. The reason, which Mr. Jeffries had stated, the reason it was split up before is when the fuel costs were volatile for the hauling. So if he was going to lock himself into a price of hauling in the spring, 5-6 years ago when there was volatility in the fuel pricing, they wanted to see it split up so in case that field did go this way halfway through the year, that they would have a chance to rebid and raise their cost or whatever the reasoning was. Now that field is leveled off, you know, basically, and the bids on the ground are leveled off. That was the main reason, I think, why it was done this way.
So it had, it had been done this way a year long, several years.
Yes, back. In the past, that's the way it was done. I believe, Galen, correct?
Oh, it had been.
Yes.
It had,
see, I don't remember those days. I guess.
When you were in the fuel business, that's one of the things you were doing is contracting with the haulers. That was what leveled that out, because you'd contract for the year, and then that way it carried. But.
No, because we Galen and I looked through the agreement, and it said it right in there underneath the bidding. I don't know, something where it said. It listed all their total amounts, and then right up there it said this is for half of that allotment or whatever. So it wasn't for the whole allotment. That meant that we were rebidding it again later and stuff. So, you know, basically we're going to change. You know, we had the discussion this spring, and we changed some of our bidding stuff, and that is what we'll do here. But just so I understand correctly, I think part of it is, though, here, we this isn't to change our fact that we're bidding now earlier this fall. This is so that next year we're going to bid just once.
Yep. And that's what John had just stated in the consent agenda. We already approved moving the specs up. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of discussion about
discussion
what we'd like to see done next spring.
So that next spring we'll bid this all as one year allotment.
So do you need me to say that I move? You want me to say what I was
if
actually?
You want to put that in there
motion?
So that
Okay. So I guess I'll move. My motion is that we go ahead and change it so that next spring when we do put it out, it's for the full year as opposed to half a year.
Okay. And who had the second? Matt? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So because when you started talking about it, I go, oh, that's maybe not what, because we did in consent agenda, we did approve to go ahead and put out the bidding for now for this fall. So, but then next year, that's something that, we will change so that we bid for the whole year. That allotment will be for the whole year. And then get done early like this year, then they can just go ahead and keep on going. Mm-hmm. And like I said, so I know the hauler contacted Galen. I had some township members contact me. The way they had read the contract, once they got done with the spring allotment, they were basically going to stop their trucks until we got the bids back in. So that's why we're going ahead and moving this process all up.
It'd be good to reiterate, too, that we're caught up. I mean, we haven't been caught up for years. That was something else that kind of put the fire to the feet. If there's somebody else coming in to bid, they had to get their stuff done, or you know, it looked bad for the next bid. So we'll just have to watch them regardless of who it is. But they're doing a great job now.
The only other thing I'll mention, too, and I've had one or two people talk to me, we need to make sure that these townships, particularly the ones that are left, and maybe they've all contacted you and got their miles in, the townships need to get their miles in, or we need to make sure they're aware of the fact that, especially the ones that are left on the spring allotment. I don't know if all six of those have contacted you or what. Hopefully they have, or you've got contacted them. But even then, next year, when we have our township meeting out there at the extension office, we need to make sure we're explaining to them that it's changed a little bit again, that it's for the whole year, that we bid for the whole year. So how may have to adjust a little bit how they turn their miles in or what, and I don't know if you still want them to turn in half their miles and later half their miles or what or how. I mean, that's something we'll have to keep discussing or whatever. So that part's coordinated.
I mean, don't they typically have those on a rotation they try to hit? I mean, I've talked to townships before. They try to get it on a rotation so they're hitting a mile every 3 years or something.
That's kind of the...
Is that something they could turn into us? You know, if they let us know what their rotation is outside of us needing some spot rock or something like that, that might make it easier. Because I know sometimes they just forget to turn their stuff in. They turn it in and they want it in 2 weeks and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, if they turn in just like now, if they go ahead instead turn it in the spring and fall, if they just go ahead and turn it in all in at once and say, this is for my spring and this is for my fall, so we can divide that up and haul, you know, each one half and then turn and start on their stiller, what you might say, the fall off.
I do too.
Yeah, because I don't think next year, if somebody has 10 miles, we don't want to haul their 10 miles all in May, and then it still would be great to split the hauling part of that up. But we want this so that the hauler doesn't have to stop during the year or whatever. So, okay, vote. 7-0 in favor. We still have 10 more minutes before we have our public hearing. Approve or disapprove interlocal agreement to create the Southeast Region to provide for cooperative public safety services by and among the counties of Cass, Gage, Fillmore, Jefferson, Johnson, Lancaster, Nemaw, Odo, Pawnee, Richardson, Saline, Seward, Thayer, and York.
And Joe brought this up, and I guess he said Roger has...
Yep, I reviewed it.
Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove?
I'd move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byer, seconded by Bauman. Roger, you want to explain this a little bit?
Basically, it's just as the title indicates, what I call a consortium is like an interlocal that allows cost savings that's passed on. And I think that just replaces.
I think we've had an agreement. We have a Southeast.
Emergency management. Yeah, this is our Southeast.
Emergency management. Yeah.
So it's something we've done in the past.
But it's EMS.
It's a regional interjurisdictional emergency management organization to be known as the Southeast Region Planning, Exercise, and Training Group, hereafter referred to as the Southeast Region, for the purpose of ensuring regional emergency management coordination, planning, exercise, training, and operability. Communications, grant fund administration and dispersion, and mutual aid arrangements between all the parties in the Southeast region. All the parties.
We've had this since March.
Basically, it's like when they have, like, if there was an emergency in one of the counties and we needed to coordinate some assistance from Gage, we would do that.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Go ahead. All the EMs in those communities or in those counties, all the emergency managers are in what they call the region, the regional. And what they have this agreement for is so that when there's grants or whatever, they're able to apply for them and then receive them. And then they spread them out through those counties.
Did the previous agreement sunset or term out? Is that what
it says? This agreement shall be a term of 5 years commencing July 1, 2017 and terminating on June 2022. So, and this is something that, like Don said, Tim brought forward here before he left, and that we needed to have this part of what we needed to do to keep this going and approved. So.
And if you look at things that have been taking place with all the tornadoes and what have you and the other issues, the counties coming together to help one another already, this is important that we have this interlocal agreement.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 in favor. Oh, 9-23. Next, we put on there discuss and approve or disapprove the 9/11 agreement between the city of Beatrice and Gage County. And part of what I don't know if everybody's ready to approve or disapprove this or not, but part of what we want to do is discuss, because we did have some more discussion. John and I met with several people from the city about the trailer, and Gus went along and met down there too. Tobias forwarded it, and I see Roger has a copy of it. We added some more language into the trailer part of this, that who has – it's still the counties. The county has first right to use that trailer,
with one exception: if their emergency or their dispatch center is down, then they do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, but, we do.
We'll kind of share keeping track of who's going to maintain it. We're going to take monthly turns around, I guess, to make sure it's looked at. I did go down and visit with Joe downstairs too, and he had a lot of questions about it. I did give him a copy of this so that he could look at it, and I wanted feedback from him too, and I haven't had a chance to visit with him again then over this, because he had a lot of questions too. It is still the county's trailer. The county did get this, Mark got this with some grant funding. It's been a valuable tool. They always use it out at the county fair out there. They put that out there, so if they need anything, it's a command post right there. But this is a what you call a mobile command center. It could be used for, and the city is making sure all the equipment is functional in there, and I think they were going to add maybe one or two pieces of equipment or something so if need be. But they fully understand that this is what it's going to be used for. I mean, and that the county still is not, we're not giving them just here, it's your trailer. It's still going to be the county's trailer, and that It's going to stay that way.
I think this could go hand in hand as you start looking at your director of your emergency management as far as the cost sharing as well. Because I think at some point, even though you try and write in every emergency, and as all you do is get a contract that goes on for pages, and in an emergency situation, you don't have time to read contracts or contact the respective attorneys. And you should have one person on here that basically says, that's it. It's either going to go down to the city or it's going to be used out in the county on an emergency basis. Because if you hit a disaster like this might envision, you don't want an argument over where it's going. You just don't have that time. And I don't know that enough about it, but I think that should be spelled out even a little better. And I think the only way to do that is just put a person in charge.
I agree.
If you go to a committee or you got to talk to Myron, who's got to talk to Stan, you know, they may be out of town. Or they may be dealing with their own emergencies in a given disaster. So that's just a thought on it. And I know you guys could talk about
that. And I haven't read that, but it was to be defined as the county would have priority all the time with the one exception of the dispatch center being down. And then the city would have priority. But otherwise, the county has priority.
Well, yeah. And again, probably better to talk about some of this stuff off the record because we're still negotiating. Yep. But it says it's inoperable for any reason. Will somebody forget to plug it in? I mean, I don't know. I just say it, you know. We don't want to get to that situation.
Yep.
And in my mind, as you guys have spoke about emergency stuff, the more people involved in making decisions, the worse it gets, not the better. And you got a good person that is relying on their information, that's what you got to have. And I'm not saying who it is. It could be a city person as opposed to a county person.
We'll have another discussion with them. A little bit what I wanted to discuss was the rest of that agreement. I know we passed this out earlier, and we'll get copies again for everybody. But everybody at one time had a copy.
Yeah, this one.
Of this one even?
Yeah.
In their packet here? Everybody should have it.
I
think part of it is in there we changed some of the funding amount in there or whatever, the dollar amounts, so that everybody's comfortable with that. Ideally, I'd like to put this on next meeting's agenda, and then we do approve it, ideally, if that's something I think that's doable or whatever, so that everybody can look at it. The funding, we decreased Carla's amount a little bit, but then they also stuck a new part of funding in there for all the IT with the sheriff's vehicles and stuff. So
I'd like to look at it some more too, because I see as our county fee $210,000.
Our fee last year was $190,000. Okay. Plus, then we also had $20,000 we contributed to Carla's salary.
Right.
We lowered Carla's salary $10,000, so that would have took it down. That, but they increased. They didn't increase. They added the part about the technology people or whatever, the technology person, which they've been doing that stuff for the sheriff. Those vehicles. That will be part of that, if I remember right, Gary. Then they added 20,000 for that.
They're increasing from 210 to 222, and we're decreasing Carla's salary.
But we're adding the 20,000 for the IT person, and then I don't have those numbers there, and I don't even know if it shows in there. We'll get the numbers. They basically took all the calls for last year. They're taking a total cost of 900 and some thousand for the whole
agreement.
Facility down there, and then they're allocating that out on a per call basis. So they had the amount of calls basically the county and the fire departments and all them used, and they come up with that fee, and that's how they come up with that dollar amount.
But that's a weighted fee. Our fee per call is less than
else that they got in
Creed. Other areas. Yeah, well,
yes.
Yeah, and
then
Creed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're still getting a really
that's something to keep in mind.
Pretty fair deal.
And, yeah.
No. Okay, I guess I just didn't understand it completely, so.
I'll get some better numbers. I don't know if it showed those numbers in here. I forgot to look at mine here again.
The call numbers?
The call numbers and stuff, I don't think. We'll get those and how they allocated basically you had this many calls last year, it's this total dollar amount for the whole cost down there, and then they go backwards and they get a cost per call, basically, and they take our total calls times that cost per call, and that's how they come up with that first number of that 190 or 200,000, that 190,000 you had.
Well, I guess I'd like to see a breakdown of the costs, okay. What it's costing them, and then what our proportion is. Because almost $1 million for this $900,000 that they're spending, I guess I don't see it. And it's probably there, but I'd like to see some numbers.
Okay. Matt?
Still on page one, just under term, number two there, where it says the enhanced 911 system, radio dispatch system, and computer-aided dispatch. Every year I bring this up. We do not have the authority given to us by any fire or EMS system to do their communication for them. They have not given us that authority to do that. If we want to do that, we probably ought to talk to those village boards and fire districts to give us that authority through an interlocal agreement. But we don't have that. So if for any reason something goes down with regard to communications, I guess I would ask the county attorney, does this bind us to be responsible for that? Because it says that we're paying for that service here. And the sentence there, EMS, or Emergency Management Agency, volunteers, Gates County Sheriff's Department, and or those fire and emergency EMS medical services located within the corporate city or the corporate limits of Gage County, except for Beatrice and Wymore. So they exclude Wymore because they have a contract with them. This basically makes us in charge of everybody's communication for which we have no control. And they have not given us authority.
It's been practice for some time. So implicitly, we are assuming that. So, or at least you could argue that. And I think it'd be cleaner if we do what Matt's saying.
Do we want to,
though? Even
though
it's going to take a little doing.
Do we want to do that, or do we want to back away from that and let them do their own thing?
Well, I mean, that's something that should be part of the discussion now. Do you want to have, and it's past the 9:30, but do you want to have them enter into an interlocal agreement with the city who's providing the service rather than having us as a conduit, which we're technically not required to do, but have been helping to get done?
Because we pay for their EMS services now.
We get money, yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's prevalent practice if we want to do it, I guess. How does this obligate us if for some reason, because I know for a long time there, Adams had a problem with some communication, and they kept calling us, and they said, well, you've got the agreement. Well, they haven't given us authority to act on their behalf, but
right.
We were.
All right. Hey, Mark. Opening that can, this conversation could go on for a little bit longer.
Because we have a timed event here. At 9:30, we will continue. We got some more things in. We'll go discuss with them. We'll get a better thing on the funding and all that.
Let's come back. Let's come back to that after we get done with the hospital.
They need to sign that too. We do have a timed event at 9:30 on the agenda, and that is a public hearing. So I entertain a motion to go into public hearing at 9:33 on the clock for the issuance by the hospital authority. Number one of Gage County, Nebraska, of health care revenue refunding bonds, Beatrice Community Hospital and Health Center Project, Series 2017, in the maximum aggregate face amount of $31,375,000 for the bonds for the benefit of Beatrice Community Hospital and Health Center.
I would move we go into public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Well, I think if there's a sign of sheet, if you want to talk, but I think otherwise you're all here for that, and we'd welcome you forward to come talk about it at the public hearing now, whoever would like to. Name and who you are and stuff. So.
Good morning. My name is Mike Rogers. I'm a bond attorney with Gilmore & Bell in Omaha, Nebraska, 450 Regency Parkway. I'm here this morning for this hearing, which may seem a little unusual since the county board is not issuing bonds for the benefit of the hospital. The hospital authority is the issuer of the bonds, but under our federal tax rules, Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code, an elected official or elected body must hold a public hearing prior to the issuance of bonds for the benefit of a 501c3 entity. So since the hospital authority board is appointed by this board and not an elected board, that's why we're here for a public hearing in front of you. You might recall that in 2010, there were two series of bonds issued for the benefit of the hospital, by the hospital authority. The first series, the 2010A bonds, were refunded in 2015, and so those have been retired. The 2010B bonds remain outstanding. Those were issued, I believe, in the principal amount of $30 million for the benefit of the hospital. They are still outstanding in that principal amount, and the hospital is proposing to move forward with the refunding of those bonds. The hospital authority met last Thursday morning to approve the financing and the refunding of those 2010B bonds. And so the hearing is simply to gain input from the public and for this body to approve, solely for purposes of Section 147F of the code, approve the issuance of bonds. It does not obligate the county in any manner with respect to the obligations. The repayment source for these bonds will solely come from the hospital and its properties, and it will not, by statute under state law, will not and cannot be an obligation of the taxpayers of the county. So with that, I would be happy to
I got a question for you.
Questions.
You kept
sure.
referring to that you're refunding the bonds. What does that mean?
It's refinancing. That's the term used in the public finance industry to just a fancier word for refinance, I suppose. And if you're curious about there is significant interest savings. The average coupon on the outstanding bonds is 6.6%, and the hospital has negotiated a 3.5% interest rate for the refinancing, which results in significant present value savings and significant annual cash flow savings. And Alan Streeter, the CFO of the hospital, is here, and he can probably answer any questions along those lines if you have other questions.
Just a comment. In state statute, it lays out similar to what you've explained, but my understanding is if for some reason there was default, that would become the obligation of the county.
No, that's not right. It would not be the obligation of the county or the hospital authority. The only thing that would happen if there's a default by the hospital, the 501c3 entity, if they don't pay their bills or don't repay the bondholders could only look to the hospital for repayment and can look at the mortgaged property. The hospital in 2010 mortgaged its property to the hospital authority, and the hospital authority assigned its rights to that mortgage to the bondholders. And so the bondholders could foreclose on the property, but it by state law cannot come back to the county and become an obligation of the county or the hospital authority for repayment of that debt.
Contrary to information I had before, but...
And I'm happy to provide a cite to the statute if you'd like.
I've read the statute and okay. It's provided to me, so yeah, but that's...
Okay. I'm happy to follow
up. Not an issue.
There.
I just was stating that was the conversation I'd had previous when the hospital had done the initial project out there.
But okay. Okay.
Not against it. I'm just stating.
How much is being refinanced?
The full $30 million. It will be in the financing, instead of being offered to the general public, is being done directly with one bank, Great Western Bank. So it's the full $30 million of the financing is being refinanced.
Are the present bondholders paid off then?
They will be paid off in 2020. The 2010B bonds were not callable for 10 years after their date of issuance, and so
they'll continue getting the 6%.
Right, and this financing, the proceeds of the financing, or the money that's borrowed now, will be deposited into an escrow for the benefit of those 2010B bondholders, and so. They will be paid interest and principal payments from that escrow, which will be held in U.S. Treasury. So it'll be effectively like holding a U.S. Treasury security. And then in 2000...
U.S. Treasury securities, are they safe now? I'm sorry, I'm being facetious.
So then in 2020, those securities would be liquidated and sold, and the 2010B bonds will be paid in full.
Just one to public. Thank you.
Sure.
I guess this isn't our concern, but I guess I don't understand. That money's borrowed and put in an escrow account, and you pay a 3.5% fee on that money.
Yes.
But then you continue paying the money that you've borrowed at 6-point-odd percent.
Yes, so there would be, there is some
9-10% interest on that same amount of money?
Well, it's reduced by some because you have the interest earnings in the escrow. Now, as we all know, it's difficult to have much yield in short-term investments and has been for some time. But even taking that into account, that negative arbitrage, so your negative carry on the escrow, even taking that into account, the savings, the present value savings, so that's not the gross savings, but taken, discounted to today's dollars is $4.9 million.
So it's over, you're just spreading it over a longer time period and lessening the total interest payment then.
The total interest payment. Now the principal will be repaid in the same time period. So the final maturity is not being extended. It will be finally repaid off on the same final maturity date. But yeah, it's the present value savings is $4.9 million. And the cash savings, the cash flow savings, that equates to about $900,000 a year for the hospital. Even with that negative. And so effectively you're capturing today's interest rates. You have to sacrifice some because you don't get to pay off your 2010 B bonds until 2020. But the idea is to capture today's rates before interest rates rise.
You're basically doing this in case or with the idea that the interest rates are going to cost you more later on, and you're locking in that savings now versus waiting until 2020.
Capturing it today instead of waiting to see what happens.
Which is an unknown at that time. You don't know if that savings would still be there or what kind of savings it would be.
Well, the talk money-wise is that interest rates are going to go up, and the feds are talking about raising interest rates, and so this would make a good move relative to this situation. Excuse me. Talking money now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Any more questions? Anything either one of you would like to, Joe, or anybody else like to comment on? Or if not, anybody else to speak at the public hearing? If not, at 9:43 on the clock, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Hill. Vote 7-0 in favor. Then the next on the agenda there, we need approve or disapprove resolution to approve the issuance, sale, and delivery by Hospital Authority Number 1 of Gage County, Nebraska, of not to exceed $31,375,000 principal amount of its health care facility revenue refunding bonds, Beatrice Community Hospital and Health Center Project, Series 2017, solely for the purpose of Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 as amended and related matters.
I would move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Beyer, seconded by Juergens, and this is Resolution 17-23. Anybody have any questions or comments? If not, vote 7-0 in favor. So, do you have all the paperwork here we need to sign, or does Don have? Or
I have another copy of the resolution.
I think this is, if this is the current.
An attorney without paperwork? What is this stuff?
I have plenty of paperwork. I have too many pages.
Do you have an extra copy of this?
I do.
If I have another page, I'll just have them sign two, and then we both have an original on the signature.
Now, Attorney Nelson always has paperwork. I mean, always. He's taking a nap.
And we'll each have one. So thank you. Thank you, guys. I know it took a little bit.
Thank you for all you do.
Basically work through the process, but I'm glad we were able to finally get this scheduled and done.
Appreciate it very much.
Pulling it down there really cold.
Brian, while we're doing that, we want to go back to the 911 discussion.
We'll go back to the 911 agreement discussion.
I guess I'd like to add, relative to, I think, I don't remember who brought it up a few minutes back about having all the squads or all the communities, squads. EMS squads.
Squads.
And fire departments.
Yeah. Negotiate or sign agreements with the 911 service for communications. I do know that part of it, I know Bruce doesn't want to negotiate a separate contract with everybody, and at this point, like Roger said, the implied is already set up because we've been doing it this way. I have no issues with doing it. I mean, I agree it would be cleaner and probably more appropriate if everybody had their own contract with the 911 center.
Either that or, you know, I can talk to Mr. Templemeyer and see if, you know, he'd be inclined to put it in writing, you know, kind of like we got an agreement later that we're basically putting in writing what was out there just by the way people worked. Well, it's always nice to have an agreement so that if there's a question or you need to revise it, we know what was said.
Right.
Or what's in there. So, right. And again, until we at least look at that, and you know, like I said, we can talk to Mr. Templemeyer. I know right now he's kind of busy with two hats on, but we can at least look at it. And Matt certainly worked with this, you guys all have, with the squads in the past, and sometimes that's a little, just to get everybody together is sometimes a little difficult.
Yeah.
I want to bring something up, I guess, to get a better understanding. The way it currently is right now, the county, I don't remember exactly how many calls all the other squads have outside of Weimar. I don't remember. But the county, that is in part of the county's funding right now.
Right.
So are you guys okay with it continuing that way, or do you want each entity to pick up their own funding?
I'm not opposed to continuing with prevalent practice. I'm just bringing up the fact that it appears as though they haven't given us the authority, and those are public bodies in and of themselves. Okay. The city wouldn't let us act on their behalf without an interlocal agreement. I don't want to supersede the authority and the importance of what those boards are doing. They should be involved in the process, and it appears as though we're leapfrogging them. If they're okay with it, it seems like it could be a pretty simple slam dunk. Give us the authority to act on your behalf, because that contract says we're going to provide all of their communication. What if they don't want us to?
Well, my only concern would be, like we talked about, I believe it was last year, do we want that? Do we want that authority, also known as do we want that responsibility in case something's wrong?
Right now we have it. I don't know if we have it. We've been doing it, or prevalent practice.
The previous agreement put us on the hook for all of their radio equipment as well. That was taken out an agreement or two ago, but the previous agreement, we were buying all the radios, or we were at least obligated to. I don't know how many we did. And actually, that was one of the things that Mark Mines pointed out that we took out of the agreement. So anytime the squads needed to update pagers, radios, anything, the county was on the hook for that. And if they didn't have the tax levying authority that we give them, you know, we give them 3 cents worth of levy to they can levy on their fire districts. If they didn't have that, then it would make sense for us to do that. But they do have a source of income with the ability to levy that tax, which is why they all do 3 cents and gets in the MFO money and things like that. I'm not against continuing to do it. I just we talk every year. I just point that out that we're taking the authority from another public body without their consent. That's how I see it. They're prideful. They do a good job. They should be involved in the process.
And Matt, just to be clear, what you're suggesting is we have an interlocal agreement with all the entities, just saying it's okay to move forward doing it the way we're doing it.
Well, I would want that for this board, for the people we represent. I would want someone to ask us before they act on it on our behalf.
I don't think that's unreasonable at all, Matt.
Is it something to consider, though, and this might be a question for you, Gary, is it something to consider with the communications director and an IT person now at the city to possibly have them go directly with the communications instead of through us?
That could be advantages to that, but
I look at
I mean, I know it never happens with the sheriff's department, but occasionally with the highway department, we have communication issues with radios or this and that. I mean, this would be one thing that we could slide over to. I mean, it's going to go to Carla anyway. I mean, communications issues, it's not going to go directly to us anyway. But maybe they could directly contract with communications. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that's how it should be.
I'll bring this up. In the past, whenever we brought this up to Bruce basically...
He doesn't like
it. We're going to have to back him in a corner and...
But they like the revenue stream.
Yeah.
You know, again, sometimes when you get the revenue stream, you also get the responsibility of coordinating with the people the money comes from. That's, and not to pick a fight with the chief, but I understand where he's coming from.
We don't have staff for that, though. We don't have communication staff where...
But that's why we're that's why the county's paying that money, is for the service, and that's.
Understand.
It works better for all.
We'll visit with them and see maybe what kind of thing we can come up with or whatever. I hear you loud and clear though.
I guess my thought on the whole deal is that as a county, we're responsible for the people in the county, and I have no problem with continuing to pay for it. Continuing to go through this board, because if there's a breakdown in them services, I guess I feel this board is somewhat responsible to make sure that the people in the county are taken care of. I know.
I mean, we're not. The fire districts are independent entities. We're actually not. We don't have an EMS service. We don't have a county fire service. They're actually not our responsibilities. But I agree with you that there's a moral code to be involved in that for public safety. I'm not opposed to what we're doing. I'm just, every time we do, I always bring this up. We're acting on behalf of somebody else that hasn't given us the authority. I would assume they would give us the authority and we would continue as we're doing. And if it's a non-issue, I guess I'm not an attorney, but if it's a non-issue, then I've taken 20 minutes of everybody's time for nothing. But if
non-issues have a tendency to become issues quite quickly.
I think it's a house cleaning item that we should take care of. It probably would be good to have it on the books.
Maybe it can be done through that 3 and 33 group. They're all represented there.
They're all represented there too. Yes,
we will have some discussion. The one other quick thing I wanted to bring up. Forgot what it was. Yes. I can't remember what it was. I'm going to bring it up. Draw a blank. We'll think of it later. Throw blank. He said something, and I lost my train of thought. Anyway, we'll discuss this more next time and stuff too, and maybe we can have some things ironed out in the next meeting. We can have it on our agenda and maybe approve it, the funding and stuff. So I can't remember what I was going to say. Anything else for it? If not, we'll move on to approve or disapprove. Rewritten interlocal agreement between Richardson, Nemaha, Pawnee, Johnson, and Gage County for cost sharing of the bailiff's position for District Judge Julie Smith, 1st Judicial District, which originally approved at our July 5th, 2017 meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Basically, what happened here was Johnson County was going, no, Nemaha or Johnson?
Nemaha
was going to be the county, the lead county in this. That's been changed to
Johnson County because. Yes. The judge is now located in Johnson County versus Nemaha County.
But the emails that I have received, the bailiff was going to become a Johnson County employee, but I think now she's going to remain a Nemaha County employee.
Oh, so it's going the other way.
I think it's the way... Right.
Whichever one we approved earlier,
yeah,
you look that up.
I can look at my emails now.
We approved one county, and they've since changed the county that bailiff is going to be... Right. Under or whatever, as the lead county.
How does that affect us?
It doesn't affect us a bit.
That's where the checks
But they changed the wording on the agreement.
And I'll make a motion to approve.
Yeah. That's the reason they sent it back to us. So
we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Bauman and second by Lytle. No, the only reason we're even bringing this back is because they changed the lead county. Yeah. We'll find out here in a second which one it was. It went from, it was Nemaha and Johnson, and it went from one to the other. And because of that, again, it's a contract.
She said I was set to become a Johnson County employee due to some confusion with county assignments, I opted to remain a Nemaha County employee. The attached version of the interlocal agreement has me as a Nemaha County employee with my wages continuing to be paid. So that's what was changed is she's staying as Nemaha, and the original agreement had her as a Johnson County.
They got a better retirement plan in Nemaha.
Just kidding.
How is it the bailiff opts to do, to be which place or the other?
I don't know, but that was the reason it was changed.
It almost sounded like it was something to do with her taxes on her wages or something. I don't know. I can't tell you either. I don't know. But all I can tell you is they changed it. When we approved this agreement,
yeah,
it was one of the counties listed in there as the lead county responsible for collecting the funding from the other counties and paying her salary. They have since changed that to another county.
And I know Michelle talked to you about it while I was gone, and so yeah. Myron said put it back on, we'll reapprove
we'll put,
it.
Well, we need to put it back on the agenda because it changed the county, and maybe it listed in there. Does it list it in there, which county now?
Yeah, she's going back to, she's staying as Nemaha.
She's staying as a Nemaha, not a Johnson County. So that's the part that, basically that's the part we need to approve because it's a contract. Here again, it's a clean-up housekeeping thing. We need to change the county. So we have a motion. We have a second. Mm-hmm. Vote. 7-0 in favor.
And if they change it again, it'll show up on the agenda again.
It will.
Yes.
One more.
Next, approve or disapprove the amendment for the sub-grant agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Service Child Support Enforcement Program and having chairman sign agreement and audit requirement certification. The purpose of the amendment is to extend the current agreement to account for the work of the clerk of the district court as it relates to child support enforcement. The amendment is effective from 10-1-2017 through 9-30-2018.
And this is something we have every year, only this year, and I think Roger, did you get yours?
Yeah, I think they sent me a copy, or an original too, and I'm like, and basically what this does is the state reimburses the county for the expenses, or a lot of the expenses associated with collecting child support.
We'll probably have to put yours on next meeting then to approve, because they have one for you and one for the county attorney, I believe, or for clerk of district court. We usually have two agreements.
I just got mine like a couple or a day or so ago.
She usually gets hers earlier than you. She has hers.
So we want to approve this one now, and then there'll be another one next time.
Have his next time.
And because part of that then reimburses for what the county pays out for Mr. Kravitz as the authorized attorney for the county child support, and it's a significant amount of money. Both Diane and Mr. Kravitz do a great job in documenting this. Then we have a company that actually the county retains.
Maximus.
They go through because then the state audits it. So, but we still come out quite a bit ahead as far as getting that reimbursement. So,
you need a motion.
We got a motion already. Do we have
Eric? Do you want to make a motion?
We don't.
We need a motion.
Second.
Who made the motion?
Eric.
Gary. Motion by Lytle. Second by Bauman. Any more discussion? And this one here is just for the clerk of the district court. The county attorney's office will also have one. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Discuss and approve or disapprove updating and replacing camera and equipment for security system. And Dave was going to be back here for this. He is.
I guess we're not doing it. Oh, hi, Dave.
This is Mr. David Jones, who is in charge of the Gage County Courthouse.
Yes, this was kind of a problem that arised when we have two cameras that are not working. Well, we ordered two new ones that fit our system, but the system we have now had a update, so ours is called Enterprise, and it is discontinued now. So to put these new cameras on the system we have, we would need an update for the DVR that we have now. So I have two options. The first one would be to stay with Centrex and upload new software I'm sorry, I kind of got caught off guard here. I just come running up the stairs. And it would be to update the software, and it's not to replace anything, just to update, and it is $5,150. But the problem with this one is that we are still stuck with cameras that cost $750, and then there's a $250 licensing fee. So pretty much every time we have to replace a camera, it's $1,000 to replace. And then so the second option that we checked into would be having Diode install a new DVR, so we would still keep the one we have now and let those old cameras run on that. But the new DVR would take cameras that are quite a bit cheaper. And this would be, the cost would be for a new 32-port DVR. And right now they just have two cameras figured in. That cost would be $5,088.75. And the advantage to this one would be in the future when we do need more cameras, they are going to run...
You had for a 2-megapixel, Dave, you had $155, and for a 4-megapixel, you had $262.
Right. Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, you said we do need to do something with the DVR now. Is that right?
Well, we would leave the existing one there. It's just if we need to replace cameras, it's going to get costly replacing, and those are about 9 years old now, so we are starting to run into some
our
problems.
Current camera system, the cameras were installed approximately 9 years ago.
9 years ago, yeah, and that's where that needs to be updated.
And, you know, in the last year here, we've had two or three that have quit working.
Right.
Well, one got water in it, but
yeah.
But we still have had... Yeah. But no, the cameras are getting at that age. The technology is getting at that age where we're starting to have some issues.
Right.
So if we wanted the current company we're with at Centrex, if we're going to replace a camera, it's $1,000. So that's kind of the issue here, and that's why Dave has brought this forward and talked with Denny and stuff looking at, as we replace a camera with Diode, if we went with Diode, you're looking at somewhere around... What the current ones we have is the 2 megapixels in there. If you
right.
want the same ones, that you're looking at $155, but he said there's also like another $20 fee maybe on top of that.
Yeah, there's the exact price. The 2 megapixel is $155, but there is an installation, so that puts them at $275. And then the 4 megapixel is $262 and installed. Because they do have to download new software when they do that to the camera, is $382 per camera.
Mr. Chairman.
So about another $120 installation.
Right.
So, Davey, you've done the research on this. What's your recommendation? Give us a price.
I would really recommend adding the new DVR with Diode, and just as the old ones phase out, we would just add new cameras to the new DVR.
What would it cost us to get there?
$5,082, I think it was.
Where's the money come? Which fund are you going
to I would probably take it out of just the general.
Building fund?
Yes.
You've got, I don't know what our balance is in there. We're in the next fiscal year, so
we're
pretty miserly on that.
And then every time a camera goes out, you're spending another $300 to replace it.
Right.
Right.
What are you projecting in? Is it when they break, we're just going to replace them?
Right. As
so you, know, you have no idea how to project.
No, I don't.
The total number of cameras we have right now that are old.
We have 26, I believe, that are...
So we'd be in $14,000 if they all broke tomorrow. Is that right?
Is there... Sorry to butt in, Matt. Is there any connection to Centrex by continuing to have this old piece of... equipment?
The trouble we have, Diode's been very helpful, and I've always had a good relationship with Centrex also. I've actually called Centrex and
said... You might have.
Okay. And I called Centrex and say, we have a couple cameras that we need to replace. I would like for Diode to put them in, and they said, that's fine. Well, then we asked for the... there's a password and all that they have to go through, so they gave us the information. Well, when Diode tried to install them, that's when we found out that they that our whole system needs an update, actually. So those cameras would not work.
So,
and but no, as to answer your question, I think we would just phase those out. And
in other words,
so my question again, Dave, by continuing to have this old piece of equipment and old cameras, do we have any tie that we have to continue to have with Centrex?
No.
Okay.
Because if they would break, we would just put in a new one from...
Because I don't want to bring all the skeletons back, but I remember about 7 years ago, somebody not cooperating real well with us.
What Gary's worried about is if a year down the road, Centrix can't come back and say, no, now you have to buy a camera or you have to do this with us.
Right, yeah. No, we would not have to do that.
We would not
and
have to.
One thing with Centrix also is they're Omaha based, so every time we did have a service call, we had 4 hours of road time on there, so they were more expensive.
I'd make a motion to approve.
Terry.
Well, it makes sense to me. Order the new system, put them all in new, trash the old one, be done with it.
So what you're saying is you agree with what he's wanting to
he's
do.
He's saying add cameras as we go. I'm saying get rid of the whole dang works and start over.
Okay. But, I mean, we have a lot of cameras that are perfectly fine now. So,
okay.
And Diode can replace them fairly quickly.
Yes, yeah. Yes, with their camera. We're talking, there's two different styles.
I'll agree with Terry in a way. When we get down to if we're half and half switched over, maybe at that time just switch them all over. Or as you increase, they go bad.
The main cost is the box, I take it, right?
Yep.
Cameras are minimal cost.
Right.
I don't get why we're screwing with two systems then.
I agree with Terry.
The cameras would be $26,000.
You're paying for two of them now, though.
Yep.
And installation would be cheaper, I would think, if you did all one crack rather than coming back.
Well, that's something to think about, too, is if Diode, if they went and installed all new cameras in all of them, would there be cheaper installation or not? I don't know. Or is it the same?
When you get to a point, too, you might have to bid it because the numbers you're talking about are pumping over the 20.
All right.
Oh, well,
I'm just throwing that out. It might be a good thing.
Well, no, we're not. We're he was 5,088 plus 26 cameras at 272.
Right.
You're a little bit over $12,000.
But if you went what they're talking about the whole system.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then you might be.
It would be around 12,000 for the whole
system. A little bit over 12,000. To change over to Diode.
For all the cameras. And
right.
I
agree with Terry.
If you went with $1,000 a camera, you're at $26,000.
Okay.
It's a no-brainer to me, but do what you want.
Says a guy that spends $50,000 a month in rock and gravel. Yeah, what the hell? $1,000 here.
Not Don.
Get the sheriff's new cars.
Don's talking.
I would say, Dave, and I think it's consensus of the board to check the Diode and see what kind of a deal and ask them for a deal if we get the whole thing replaced at once.
Dave.
And I know you're conserving dollars and saying, hey, let's wait.
Well, it is early in the budget year, and I always try to make sure that we're covered through the year. So.
Denny will take care of you.
Okay.
Dave, Don mentioned that if it's between 5 and 20,
yeah.
5 and 20, we have to have three quotes.
Sure.
So you may need to get another. You've had two quotes?
Two, yeah.
Or how do we end?
Well, and I mean, it really hasn't. I mean, but those are phone calls and followed up with a written, email or something from them.
I'd throw out a motion to go along with Dave's recommendation to add the DVR and replace the two cameras necessary at this time, and then moving forward, phasing the other system out. I know there's some animosity there between Centrix and some memories, but that way it's a good way to slowly phase this in, and it's something we could do right away then.
We have a motion.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann and seconded by Bauman to go ahead and do the DVR and the two cameras now, and then as need be, replace the other cameras, correct? But you need one more bid, too, yet. We need to have bids.
He's trying to get three, but couldn't get the third one, too.
Well, that's it. You're going to do the whole system. Okay, you're fine then. You're fine.
Five and 15, you're still over five.
a little over 5.
5 and 20. Yes.
But this is 5,088.
Still 5,088.
Okay. 5,088. He didn't. Yeah, I thought it was under the other day when you talked to me.
We'll go ahead and give you the approval. You come back with us with the bids.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
That is that?
That or tell them knock $100 off and they can do it.
But it should be noted that Supervisor Juergens wanted to spend a hell of a lot more money.
Bingo! Get it done right.
That's right.
And not have somebody coming into your system every
second on the table. That's right. I'm for Juergens. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the table, and that is to go ahead and replace the DVR and the two cameras and then continue replacing them. So,
okay.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Bauman. Vote. 6 in favor with Lytle voting against.
And it just, Davey, if it's over that 5, you need a couple bids on it so you can put it on your in your book. Thank you.
Thank you.
Like I say, the older I get, the more confused I get.
Well, then, us working together is very good.
Yeah, or dangerous.
Turn around upside down. Like they're backwards.
I said it's very good because both of us are confused.
And then they wanted to say that it was, they pointed fingers at the contractor, and then they pointed they were pointing fingers everywhere at themselves and fixing the damn things. Matt remembers it.
And then.
Hey, I don't talk about communications and cameras anymore. Kind of give up.
Looking at budget requests, too, the sheriff's going to probably cut enough out of his budget this year to cover a camera upgrade.
Actually, if
that's
we
why brought Julie over here.
If we move the screening station to the main floor, we could sell the contraband, but they
if
hide
we
it
let
all
people
over the
carry
building.
Weapons in the courthouse, we wouldn't need a screening station.
Oh, we're getting new sidearms, so everybody here has one.
Have you seen Don shoot?
We have. Next on the agenda. Next on the agenda. Next up on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove moving county payroll an additional week in arrears, making the payroll a full pay period in arrears, to be effective the third pay period in September of 2017.
Mr. Chairman, it felt like you were trying to move the meeting along there.
Yes, we are. We're trying to keep it going.
Move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Lytle, seconded by Thiemann. And Don, you want to discuss this a little bit, what this... The reason why we're maybe doing this, and I don't know if Julie heard that too.
Our pay period consists of two weeks, 80 hours in a pay period. We are right now 1 week in arrears. It creates a little bit of heartburn, I guess, when we're bunched up on Monday mornings to try to get the timesheets out and to get those offices. Now, it's gotten, I'd say, 100% better with the highway department. The only hang up that we would have there pretty much is the weekends. If someone gets called out, they have to get that into us immediately before Monday. The big issue is the sheriff's department, and Julie's here to talk about that because there is a lot of issues over there with people not using the time clock. So no matter what system we had, if we don't have time there to pull and pay them, we have to hunt people down to get why they're short hours, if they're using vacation, if they're using sick, or if they didn't clock in. Julie is in contact with Sharla nonstop. She's going back on camera. She's going back on logs. And, Julie, if you want to talk about, we have a lot of issues at the sheriff's office, and that's probably the biggest concern.
But if employees aren't clocking in and clocking out, recognizing we need to pay people for the job that they've done, they're creating the hitch in the system. It's not an administrative issue. And my other concern, and I said it in committee and I'll say it here, we're actively in negotiations with the FOP. Do we have the authority to change this? Last time somebody tried to make a change that took us to the CIR, we had nothing to do with it. I said that on Monday and I'll say it again. I understand the administrative end of it, but they're trying to take... Well, I can't talk about that, but...
Okay, well, and I will tell you, we have talked to labor attorneys numerous times. I have, Gus has. If you cannot not pay someone, and I know that's the sentiment of, okay, if they don't turn their time in, don't pay them. If you know they work, we're required by law to pay them a base, and that
if
is...
they don't turn in their timesheet, you pay them what's on the sheet. If my employee said they work 20 hours and they don't document it and they leave for Cancun, they get paid the $20 or the 20 hours. Then we can check it later.
Well, What we're told is that we need to, if we know they've worked their shifts, we need to pay them at least 80 hours and then figure out the excess later.
But we know they work by their time clock.
80 hours.
By their time card. That's all we know.
Well, I'm assuming on this shift that that's, if we know we've seen them work, we know that they've worked, that, and correct me if that is not the information you have received as well.
Yeah, the only thing we have to pay them is a base pay. Overtiming like that, we don't know what it is yet. That comes later down. I can hold out and not pay them until they turn it in, which I'd like to with their base pay. That fixes the problem overnight, but I can't do it because the attorney won't let me do that. So we're working the process, and Julie sends me an email every time that she sends out to the employees, missing this, missing that, and she is, Don's right. She spent a ton of time going back trying to research all this and wait a week even after I push the email out and get back from the people. And the only recourse I have is to do disciplinary action, like everything else. And what it'll end up being is I'll be short a lot of people real fast because they just, for whatever reason, they forget, they get busy, they just don't get stuff into us. It sets everything back. If I start through the progression of verbal, going to writtens, going to suspension and termination, I will guarantee you I'll be losing people pretty quick because they just do it.
So you know what? We lose them. The sheriff's department, no kidding, Sheriff. This is absolutely ridiculous. Why should we make this exception? And nobody in business would do this for anybody else. If those people decide they want to quit, if they're that stupid, let them go.
No, not quit. I'd end up firing them because that's progression of different action.
But, Sheriff,
let's have Julie talk about what the reason why there, and then we can make
a lot of the problem is we have 40 people that we're dealing with, and it's not always the same person. We do have a couple people that have a problem, and I think that's being handled at the time. But that's where the problem lies when you have to try to look at 40 different people, and if somebody clocks in and forgets to clock out or vice versa, Charlotte catches that, and then I have to try to find out, go to the cameras and see if they come in at that time, if I can't get a hold of them by phone, or I go to their radio log if the deputies, you know, have to clock in with the dispatch. And then I can find them that way, but it's all morning. I mean, that's every. And then if we have a holiday on the Monday, this payroll day, then we're really scrambling. And the deputies and corrections, they work on the weekends, and then slips come in. If they forget to turn in a slip, or if I don't get it because the sergeant has to approve it, then it's got to go to the chief deputy, then it's got to go to me. So then I got to run downstairs, see if I can find them. And it's quite an ordeal, really. It's gotten better, I think, since they started using a time clock instead of just turning in their time sheets. But there's still, you know, once in a while, people forget. And then, like I say, when you got 40 people and, like, five people forget every time.
Our process for the most of the offices is we like to have them turn in. If you have an employee gone, and we get emails daily and from Julie, we get them all day long, is if you know your employee is asked off for tomorrow or for the next day, send us a note, and we can put that in a scheduler in the system, and it will automatically pull those hours if they're going to take a sick day or they're going to take a vacation day, and we can pull that in. But it's at the last minute when they go through the whole two-week pay period and don't tell us, and then they're short hours, then all of a sudden all the corrections come in at the last minute. Because they haven't told us
a little bit, though, the timeline here is the pay period basically ends on the Friday evening. The two-week pay period ends on the Friday evening.
Saturday night at midnight.
Well, for you guys, Saturday night at midnight. Yes. Everybody else, Friday, right. Friday evening.
Right.
The issue here is by Monday, what time on Monday are you trying to coordinate all of that?
10 o'clock is when everybody is supposed to have
it in. What the discussion item here is, they're moving that 10 o'clock basically back another whole week so that they have a week to coordinate all of that. That's the discussion item here, so everybody understands that part.
Julie just proved Denny's point even more. If we can't clock in and we can't clock out, it's not important enough to do that in one way or another. Obviously, those hours aren't important enough to be paid. Clock in, clock out. If you haven't done it, you should be fine. There should be disciplinary action. If you're waiting to the end of a two-week pay period, I don't care how good of records you think you keep in your head, you don't. you're lying on your hours. Your hours aren't right. We could, you know, there could be more hours there than what they're saying. There's no way you can wait till the end of a pay period to do that. Clock in, clock out. There should be disciplinary action. They should be fined. Who's paying for Julie's time here, the mornings, when she's wasting that morning because people are too incompetent to do their job? And these are the people that we're supposed to trust to do law enforcement in our county.
But you got to remember, it happens here at the courthouse, too.
It's still incompetence. I don't care who it is.
It's not just us.
No, it's incompetence. If my guys can't say that they're there on a private side, tell me you're there. If you don't tell me, you're not there. If you can't turn in a time card or write your hours down every day, I always say if you don't write it down that day, you didn't exist there because it wasn't important enough to say when you were there and when you left. Because tomorrow, I mean, it's tough enough to remember what you had for lunch, let alone what time you got in, what time you took off, what time you left for lunch. Clock in and clock out. Otherwise, they should be disciplined. I think there should be fines. The wasted time that Julie's spending should be accounted for out of their payrolls. They should pay for her time if she's having to do things that are part of their general, simplest duties. That's ridiculous.
And in private, you can, in the county.
Well, in private, you can shake somebody. And on the public side, you can't. This is just ridiculous.
And God bless you, Julie, for the work you're doing.
Yes.
I mean, really, I'm not patronizing. I mean, God bless you, and the employees over there should be glad that you're following up on stuff. But we're rewarding poor performance and poor behavior. 3 or 4 years ago when we switched this and we went back to how we were paying people, that was supposed to give us more time. Now we're just extending that again instead of holding folks accountable. It's I agree with Eric. You know, it's just incredibly frustrating that we're continuing to talk about this. We put a time clock system in place that is exceedingly more efficient, should be better. We've worked with the Sheriff's Department to try and make accommodations. It's just really frustrating that this is so hard. And this entire board, and I would believe everybody is part of the Sheriff's Administration, that we want to pay people. Nobody wants to hold back anything from anybody.
But
when the employee makes that hard for us to do, it's ridiculous.
It's not just the sheriff, so we do have other employees, too. And you do forget. You automatically walk past the time clock thinking you've clocked in, and it comes down to the end. And for those offices that don't send us the daily stuff on their employees being off, they do have to hurry and get all of that stuff in. And if somebody's on vacation, then you have to wonder what they took or what they're going to need to take if they want to take vacation time to make their full 40 hours. If we don't, then what happens is we're turning around the next pay period and we're filling out claims and we're juggling to pay them again because you can't not pay them. So then we're backtracking and catching ourselves up.
When we went to the time clock system, and you just made a statement there, so I'm going to cherry pick something you said. Do we not, and maybe we change this, but we allow the deputies to clock in via a mobile app on a telephone, on a cell phone, that I just signed a bunch of claims for on Monday. We pay them a stipend or a call, I don't know exactly what, $50 or whatever that is, so they have something. And I'm not picking on the deputies. You just happen to be here, so that's why I'm saying that. There's a mobile app that they have the ability to clock in for, so they don't even have to walk past
the deputies in the contract. Only like supervisors get that.
Well, I thought we talked about allowing them to do that because their concern was coding in, and then the dispatch.
We have the mobile.
They can. They don't pay $25 a month is what I'm talking about.
They have their computers in the cars now.
Yeah, they clock in on the computers.
We have hundreds of thousands of dollars in computers and cars, so yes, we can do that.
And I'm not picking on the deputies. Y'all just happen to be here. I mean, you know, I know we got resistance from people, and I know Dawn got it firsthand where someone used some rather foul language when they had to walk into the building and spend 2 seconds to put their finger on a reader.
Oh, I
mean, give me a break. How easy can we make it for people to clock in?
I know.
Sorry.
These computers, though, that brings that up, too. And I'm not faulting you for this at all, Julie. I just think it's an incredible waste of your time. I know you have other things to do other than chase people's time down. But these computers that we've spent six figures on, these allow them to clock in and clock out on the cars.
They have internet access, they can, yep.
And they have internet access because we just dumped more money into that. And each of these people has a car at their home, correct?
Most of the time they do.
Do we need to hire somebody to come to their houses and clock them in the morning? Because we've got a damn car there. We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars in computers. And we can't clock in. I mean, do you not...
this is ridiculous. This is beyond ridiculous.
I do have to have Charlotte coming in. It's Mondays.
We can talk about it all day long. It's my decision how I'm going to handle it internally. The problem is we've got to decide if we want to do another week in the rears. That's what we've got to determine.
That's what we're discussing.
I'll go from there.
I'm sorry. I guess get off on this.
You're more frustrated than I am. I mean,
I'm going to echo what Eric says, and I'm willing to go 2 weeks in a rear because I think it cleans things up. I'm willing to do that. But by voting to do that, I'm also saying over across the street, you guys down there, here in the courthouse, just like Eric said, you clock in and you clock out. And if you don't do it, because this is what the county's put, we've spent a lot of money on these clocks, and we've spent a lot of money putting this system in. And it was created to make things more efficient and, you know, take somebody like Julie and let her do things that she's supposed to be doing rather than doing all this legwork. And Charlotte shouldn't have to do all that stuff. That system was put in to be more efficient and to keep us from getting in legal issues because we're not paying people.
Right.
We want to get people paid.
Yes.
So either you get it done, you clock in, you clock out, or else you get paid for what you did clock in and clock out. We don't go chasing after camera views to see if somebody came to work or not.
Yep.
If you clocked in and you clocked out, that's what you're getting paid for.
Well, you've got somebody that's signing off on those claims, too, I'll point out to you.
Right.
That's right.
So one of my secretaries forgets to clock back in when they come back from their noon hour. And the sheet comes in to me. I know she was there. Now, I've got the luxury. I don't have that many employees.
Yes.
So I know if somebody, like, where to go.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing I'll point out to you is the questions you're trying to address aren't being addressed by a one-week backup. You're still going to have to chase people a week earlier.
No.
Or a week later. Okay, a week later. But you're not taking away Julie's having to run after him. And that's what I'm getting at, Roger.
I know I'm taking a little time to get there, but that's what I'm getting at. I'll agree to do this, but this crap has got to stop.
That's right.
Yes.
People have got to start taking responsibility. And maybe we need to change a little bit in the way we handle it. Maybe, because where I work, you know, we have, like, I'm in control of my division, and I have several people that are under me that I take care of. And come the end of the pay period, I got to go in and I got to make sure that they, and then I catch those things. And then we get them corrected, and then I approve them, and I verify them, and then it goes to the payroll person. And maybe we need to look at putting another step in there where, whether it's Galen or whoever down there, and then Julie, somebody in each office is going through and making sure that all that stuff's taken care of.
We do send those timesheets out, but it's in Galen's part. It's if they work, because we send them out on Friday after 3:30 after they clock out. We send them down to the highway department so that they can verify everything. It's if they get called in on Saturday or Sunday, then they've got to get that information right away to us on Monday morning. Our time constraint is because we have to have the deposit and everything done and sent because it's direct deposit. That's where we're backed up. So we are in a time crunch there because we have to have it sent out by a certain time.
Don, you just brought up sheets again, though. I mean, you're sending out sheets.
Because if they get called out, they're not by a time clock necessarily.
But that's part of the problem here is that we're using old systems and trying to intertwine it with the new system. We can't continue to have sheets here and sheets there and this and that. Make it work. We need to make it work inside the system that is computerized and not continually being sending this sheet out or that sheet. If there's somebody that goes out to work on the weekend, why can't we just have their payroll person down there send an email and say, hey, we need to plug this into that person's.
But they don't know it until Monday morning.
Okay.
So that's when they notify us.
Okay. But, I mean, we shouldn't have to send a sheet down there, have them send it back.
There's timesheets. It's their timesheets that we generate, and they have to sign them saying those are their hours. Those are what I'm talking about, signing the timesheets. You actually have a paper timesheet that they sign.
But we should be able to have the payroll stuff moving in the system and moving forward without that.
It doesn't allow me to move forward. We can't put it into our payroll process.
Can they do it from their computer there at the highway department? One of the computers?
Time clocks down there.
Oh, they have time clocks.
Uh-huh. They have time.
Yeah.
If they get called in, is it usually to the highway department? Or to your shop?
To
work you mean?
Yeah, if the guys get called out, do they usually
like on the weekend? They don't always come into the shop.
They don't always come to the shop. Okay. Say if the guy at Wymore is on call and he has a call down there instead of driving clear back in, he'll go out and check it first. Now, if he has to have some equipment, then he'll make the trip in.
Yeah. And that's not an issue because we do have what we call correction sheets. If somebody, had to work or had a meeting or whatever, they'll just...
We are off task a little bit here. As far as the week in arrears, is there anything we need to do to help the employees with the transition? Because that seems to be an issue. Even if it's the same dollars and cents, if it's postponed a week, it becomes an issue. It's the same amount of money, but it's postponed a week, and when they do it, do we need to add any language to this?
Well, the reason that we're doing it in September, that is the third pay period in that month. So
there's not deductions on
it. There's not deductions on it.
So it's a fuller
then
pay
they
period.
Also know and they can plan ahead. So because some of them we realize they need that paycheck every 2 weeks. Now, this is the one time they need to plan ahead that this is going to be moved then. You're still going to get paid, but you're going to get paid that one a week later. That's what's going to happen. That one time, you're going to be getting paid a week later. You still will get all of your money every time, but for that one time, that 1 week, that check will be coming a week later, and then after that, you'll be two weeks in arrears.
It will be just a full pay period in arrears, yes. Not just a week.
Is there any way, because now we beat the employees up, some deserved it, some didn't.
Yes.
Is there any way before we change the process again, and there's always that one guy in the room that tries to give a history lesson, so I guess today it's me. Last time we did this, it was fruit basket upset. Employees were upset. Some employees felt like they got shorted money. Nobody did, but that was the perception. It really created a lot of unrest where there didn't need to be any. Is there any way before we do this that we can reinstruct, I hate to use the word reeducate, provide them a little more guidance so that they can be part of streamlining the process before we change something again? Because I'll tell you, that's a rock I don't want to push up a hill again. That was a mess. It was a mess.
I'm going to piggyback on that. At this point, I don't know that we threw this out there pretty quickly.
Yep.
I wonder if we shouldn't look out for the next time where we have three pay periods so that we can streamline the whole works, well, as opposed to just getting 2 weeks in a rear at this point. Because again, we haven't fixed anything. Yeah, we're going to agree to do this, but are we fixing the system completely? I mean, I don't know.
You won't have that till next year,
right?
I'm going to show you something that's what you call wizardry. A simple thing here. I mean, if we go on to someone else's job, we have to clock in and clock out. We don't have to. It's our option. But if we want paid, that's what happens. Otherwise, we can donate our time. I mean, this is for other people's jobs. It's literally that simple.
It would be approximately another 6 months before you have another 3 month pay period, approximately. I don't know exactly when. Yeah.
But would that give us time to figure out the whole works as opposed to just
Mike, I'll agree with you guys on one thing here. My concern is even moving this, if you moved it 2 weeks in arrears, that doesn't solve a lot of the issues we're having. But I don't know if you can solve those issues. I guess that's what I don't understand quite good enough yet. I don't know if...
It solves the issue of trying to jam everything into Monday morning.
That's
we can get that all completely taken care of by the time we have to have it in that Monday morning.
What you're saying, if you had a whole week to solve that, basically that's what you're doing. You have a whole week. You'd have that whole week, and by Friday night you'd have it solved.
Yes.
You would have those all coordinated, so away we go.
Yep.
And right now the way we're set up, you're trying to get that all done by Monday noon, 10 o'clock or Monday noon.
Yes.
That's the part on the bookkeeping part that is creating the challenge on this end.
Because, like, right now, I have this many papers I have to look at. When we have a holiday and stuff, then everybody has to turn in a slip for that. Then overtime slips and holiday taking slips and vacation slips and the timesheets. So I have to go through all this yet. So if I can get that done, I can start on that Monday morning instead of waiting, instead of trying to look everything up. I can start on it. It's Wednesday, and I haven't even looked at them yet. So,
hey, Julie.
So we need to go ahead and do this section.
Well,
you do a good job, Julie. I want to tell you that.
Thank you,
Julie. Is there with some of those? Can they be pre-approved items so that you don't have to have them on Monday morning sitting on your desk?
There are a lot of pre-approved items that I get sent over. It's the last minute stuff that really throws us off. If they forget to clock in, then I got to wait till I get a correction slip. And
you really have that many on Monday mornings, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, not to send over. What I have to do once their job is done, then I have to go post all their benefits and everything else and keep track of all that and then get all that sent out. So it's just, I mean, there's no getting around that. There's always going to be that many papers that I'll have to do. But I could start on a Monday instead of waiting, you know, like here it is Wednesday already, and I've spent all Monday morning, and sometimes Charlotte's here till 6 and 7 at night because, you know, when you have that many employees.
Terry? No, go finish up.
I was just going to say, when you have that many employees and there's even just a few that you have to deal with on Monday morning, it takes a lot of time. And then Charlotte has to run the timesheets, and then she says, well, these people don't have 80 hours. So then I got to try to figure out where these times are. Excuse me. So then that's where it takes a lot of time. If I can't get a hold of them, I get on our camera system, look up the date and time to see when they came in, if they came in at 6 or if they came in at 10. Well, you got to go back and look at all that. Or I go to the radio log where the deputies call in. Well, sometimes dispatch isn't too good about that. So then I'm not really sure. So I don't care about the overtime because if they don't turn that in, they'll have to get it next time. I just want people to get their 80 hours. Now, if you guys don't care if they get their 80 hours, we can work around that. I thought we had to.
If they don't have their 80 hours, then why are they getting paid for 80 hours?
They get 80 hours in.
They always, I mean.
I know the schedule. They get 80.
Yeah,
I got to pay it. It's up to me. They wouldn't get the damn thing until the next time around. Labor attorney says, no way, they got to get that.
They get the, you mean they get paid the 80 whether they're there or not?
No, they get paid. I know, we know when they're working. We got schedules in advance. It's just, in the overtime, we don't have to. Like I said, the attorney says, you can pay that one. He said, turn the slip in. Got to do the base pay. There's just no way around it. Because I could correct the problem real quick by you skipping a pay period, and you know, I get a check. You would remember next time to clock in and out for me. But I can't do it. That's the problem. So.
And we have people that, took vacation or sick time for 2 or 3 days, didn't turn a slip in, didn't know whether they wanted to use vacation or sick or what it was, you know.
Must not have wanted to.
So we're sitting there waiting, you know. And those are the kind of things that we run into right away on Monday morning.
And I won't know about it sometimes until that Monday morning because, you know, I can't keep track of everybody that works the different shifts and I don't see them, and so I don't know that they're gone. So then Charlotte calls over and says, well, they only got 60 hours.
But what happens, Julie, if you're not there on a Monday morning? It's paid Monday.
Well, everybody bitches about it that I'm not there.
What if you don't show up and don't turn a time card or a slip in?
Yeah, you know, same thing. I get paid
Myron.
80 hours.
Myron?
Yep. Common sense would tell you, my opinion, you go back to 2 weeks, back that off a week, it makes sense because it coincides with the pay period you have. But this other shit has to be cleaned up. I mean, I don't know what you do, but... I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yes.
That you have to do this.
And Charlotte has to do it, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect
ridiculous.
Them.
It costs the county money because of their stupidity.
And I know, like Don says, you'll have those times where you get busy and you just simply forget. You understand we're all people. I understand that will happen.
Yep.
It's on the routine basis. It's frustrating for us. That's what it just shouldn't be.
And the ones that are happening on a routine basis need to be dealt with, and the ones that happen occasionally need to respond to whoever's email so that these things get cleaned up and don't drag on.
Right.
Okay. And I guess what Gary says, though, make sure you get something out to the employees, whichever way you go on this,
because there you go.
They're
going to
hear things that aren't being said by this group, and you guys get the brunt of it.
Right,
and it is hard to understand. I mean, to explain this to people is like, why are we changing? And I always do that. And if I don't, Charlotte calls up and it's like, oh gosh darn it, yeah, I forgot. And so you put it on your change sheet, so you got it covered. with smaller numbers, I have don't have near the problem of 40.
You don't have 40.
But,
yeah.
But conceptually, you do it the same way.
We've had the problem. We had it out at the extension office. We've had it. We've had several different problems, and they all should go away. Myron, what I'm going to suggest now is I'm going to suggest that I'm going to throw this out there. Let's find the next time that we, and this is the reason I bring it up. Let's find the next time that we have 3 weeks, three pay periods in a month, and let's set to go forward with making the change then, because right now you're middle of July, and I don't know, no time is a good time for something like this, but I do remember last time we had people that either they had to take vacation to get the full paycheck or whatever, and
we offered that, yeah.
I know we did, but you got you're 2 months away.
You're just kicking the can down the road. Do it right now.
It's Christmas.
There's nobody going to quit.
No, really. No.
Do it right now.
September and December.
No, it was March.
Okay. If we feel like 2 months is enough time for them to prepare and plan for that financially, then
Department of Labor says you need to give them 30 days.
I know, but I'm thinking about that.
When somebody does certain stuff and they need to get a call from Terry, ask him, where's your stuff?
2 months to plan on right now.
Is that a motion to make him chairman of payroll?
I'd be the henchman.
Gary's going to call me. I'd make sure I had my stuff.
Just a minute. Gary made a motion.
No, my original motion.
We have a motion and a second on the floor, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
What is the motion?
What was the motion?
It just is to approve going this.
To approve.
Okay. Now, we can offer people to buy out if you want to do that again like we did the last time. If they want to buy out 40 hours to make it a full pay period of their vacation, do you want to do
Does that need to be
like
included
that?
in the motion?
If that's something that you can allow them to do.
Yep. Yeah, then we need to include that in the motion because I think that's something we need to do because I don't want to put a financial burden on our employees.
Do you have to make a motion to amend the motion then?
No, you can just add it to it. And who made the second?
Tiemann.
You have to agree to that then.
So.
To buy 40 hours of their vacation, I guess. Or
moving county payroll additional week in arrears, making the payroll a full pay period in arrears to be effective the third pay period in September of 2017. And we'll offer the option to
allow employees to use 40 hours of vacation time to supplement.
Okay, that's my amended motion.
Yes,
I'm good with that.
And we'll send some information out. They're going to get stuff in their pay. Julie, Galen, they're going to get stuff here in their pay thing explaining this. They're not losing any pay, but that one time they're going to be short. That pay period then in September, that last one, they're only going to get paid for 1 week at that time, not their 2 weeks. Okay? They still will then going forward, that week that they're short, that gets caught up all the time. It's never that they're losing any pay. But they will not get the full. It will be less than some because they won't have all the deductions that last one.
Get it.
Right.
They would normally get a bigger pay period check.
Cash flow, they're still going to have their money.
Yep. Cash flow wise, they will. But that pay period will be adjusted some so that they need to understand
on,
that.
Right, Don?
Okay. We've got the motion to go ahead and do this. And then to allow them to, if they so desire, that's up to the employee to buy out using a
40 hours,
using the vacation or whatever. Any more discussion? Vote. 6 in favor with Bauman voting no. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there anything we need to know if you guys could let us know if there's anything, as we are in negotiations, maybe this needs to be brought up. And
I already talked to Raj about that, and that's what I'm going to be bringing up. So you'll have to have something in there.
And not just for you guys either. That might be something we look at for the handbook because this is, come on.
Well, I'd much rather have progression
I don't think it's
within the contract to do something.
I don't either.
People could forget that.
Yeah, you don't want to fire people over, but everybody
that's
else
where you're
too.
Hear it.
There should be some type of
I'm putting a do not disturb on my
to turn your
right
stuff
right
in. That's not
I
fair.
I tell
to
my
you
employees
guys. You've got enough to do.
Because I'm going to hear it from the other sides too.
I know.
They're not going to, and I'm not criticizing the decision. I'm just they don't understand. What the hell? I got to use my vacation to get a paycheck? Wow. That's what they're going to hear.
Yep. And we will get to hear it too, I'm sure.
Oh, no, I know. And I just,
Not me.
I tried to explain it.
Not Matt. Matt voted no.
No, you're getting paid for the hours you work.
I wrestled that badger before and I got bit. I don't want to do that.
Okay. The only other thing we have on here is we have a closed session for personnel. And then also we have a little bit of our Beatrice 6 insurance thing we're going to discuss in there, but there's no decision or whatever. Joe has sent me a couple of emails about that and stuff. So that is more legal proceedings than anything. So, but otherwise we have Paul and Jane out there for personnel.
All right.
I need a motion. Oh, just a minute. I need a motion to go into closed session at 10:45, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Hill. Vote 7-0 in favor.
Next time you're downtown, I'm sitting on this stuff. Do you see if Flan would be?
All right.
Oh yeah, we'll have that quick here. We'll have discussion. Entertain a motion at 11:36 to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Thiemann. Vote.
I don't write something down.
6-0 in favor with Bauman having left. One other quick thing.
You write that down.
Next meeting, we'll also need to make a decision. Originally, it was Extension Office brought it up, but also the visit with Dawn here a little bit, the clerk's office. Never even thought of this. Do we, for the eclipse, do we want to think about take an hour, hour and a half, or 2 hours off at that time or not? I don't know. I mean, the next meeting, we're going to have that discussion. I don't know what some of the other businesses are.
I know Security First is closing from, I think somebody said on their newsletter, it said 11 or 11:30 to 2. I sent an email out because I did have about three people approach me about it so far. And so I sent an email out to the officials. I got a response back from Lori. She wanted to close the whole day, or was fine with closing the whole day. Diane Wells said she thought employees could take time off using their vacation or comp. They do have a court going on that morning, trial. Register deeds, close courthouse for the day, and use vacation time and custodian voted for either close or part or full. Then I had Brian stop me, and he said, what if we just closed for a period of time, like, you know, if you took the hour or 2 hours, and the hour of that, everybody had their lunch at that time, and then an additional hour or whatever, for the viewing. So those are some of the comments.
Those are thoughts.
You know, that I've had.
August 2nd at that meeting, we're going to come out and say make a decision so that everybody knows what we're going to do.
I don't think we've got to close the treasurer's office, whether somebody wants to pay their taxes.
God, yeah. If they can't put it in a freaking envelope, I'll buy the damn stamp. We're on record. I kind of downplayed this one, because I never thought about it either.
I don't either.
You know, it is good, you know, assuming it's a day like today where the sun is shining, that is going to be something. And think about also, you're going to have somewhere between 30 and 50,000 people in this county. From Pickerel basically to probably Wymore, that little swath. I mean,
into Marston, having a party.
That's, well, it's,
Art's having one.
Whatever you decide, I'm just going to make provision for my people one way or another. If they want to take it off, take it off.
That was some of the comments that there were some employees that wanted to participate and help at events that they were conducting in their own communities. And,
or family.
Yeah, and then the other one was they had family coming in that they wanted to be able to attend. Well,
if they want the whole day off, then that's going to be them on vacation and all
right.
That.
I think it's Monday.
It's the 21st, and the full eclipse is at like 1:21 or something.
It starts at 11:30, and it's supposed to be done by 1 something, isn't it? Now, I was told by one of the officials, and I don't remember who told me that they said they're already putting out. For here, we should be getting our gas, things like that, a week before because we're not, I mean, it's going to be so busy, we're not going to have parking, everything. So
I'll be pleasantly surprised if all this actually happens.
So I'm just telling you
there's going to be some people in town.
I think, again, I'm basing a lot on what Lori from the chamber said. And, I mean, she's sticking her neck out a long way if it don't come out. And I applaud her for that.
We've gone from the 50,000 number down to the 12 to 15,000 number, though.
Oh,
by their estimates.
They're expecting that much out at the homestead.
Look at
they got 10 buses.
Yeah. Look at the fact that you can't find a hotel, south of Omaha.
Yeah.
I mean,
120 camping spots out at the fairgrounds are all spoken for that time.
120?
The Lincoln motels are the country.
That's right.
I'm going to rent out space.
Yeah, rent out your house and make money. I can tell you that right now.
There are people taking people into their home and that bed, whatever they call that thing. It's happening.
Meeting adjourned. 1 o'clock. We're at 1 o'clock.
Motion to adjourn.
No, we're not. Yeah, the Board of Supervisors is adjourned at 11:40 on the clock.